Non-physical beings have always worked with sentient life on the physical plane. Every humanoid and every sentient life form is guided every moment of its life. Beings like us are your connection to the source, although an imperfect one, since we are also evolving. Nevertheless, we have already evolved through and beyond the physical plane and are therefore able to act as your guides and teachers. Doing this is part of our evolution and growth. The same could be said of many of the extraterrestrials visiting you now. Many of them are spiritually advanced and can help you make choices that will lead to a better world. They differ from us in still being able to operate through a physical body. This has many advantages in helping you, as you can imagine. First, they can be seen by you when they allow it. Second, they can affect matter. So they can act as a bridge between our world and yours. This will be particularly useful in opening up skeptical minds to spiritual realities. Extraterrestrials will give your scientists explanations for the paranormal events they have been unable to explain. Your current scientific views will be shaken by what you will learn from the extraterrestrials. They will provide you with the missing links to your understanding, which will lead to new kinds of beneficial technology, particularly in the areas of medicine and ecology. However, just because this technology will be available in the future is no reason to continue your destructive ways. You will only be given clues to your problems, not answers. You will have to earn this technology by developing it yourselves, and that will take time, which becomes shorter the more you destroy your environment. The service to others extraterrestrials visiting you now have learned much from their involvement with you over the millennia. They have learned when to interfere and when not to. This has been a hard lesson for them and for you. A few of the Earth's worst disasters could have been avoided had they made wiser choices at certain points in your history. They are learning, as you are. Extraterrestrials are not infallible. They do not necessarily know what is best for you. That can only be determined by you, by feeling deep within yourself. Be sure not to accept any advice from them that does not resonate within you on a deep level. This is important not only because self-serving extraterrestrials will try to confuse and control you, but because one of humanity's lessons now is not giving power away to others. Discrimination is one of the most important lessons of these times. We are not implying that service to others extraterrestrials will lie to you or try to trick you. But they do have their own point of view, which may not always fit for you or take into consideration your very human needs. You will, at times, have to explain your point of view and your reality to them, since they have never walked in your shoes, although they are doing their best to understand you. So be sure to protect your own interests. Otherwise, you may end up making unhealthy compromises. Visitors. The service to others extraterrestrials visiting you now have your best interests at heart, but some also have reasons of their own for being involved with you. Their most basic reason for being involved with you is that they are evolving through their interactions with you. This is the spiritual purpose behind their involvement with you. Second, some of them specifically, the Zeta Reticuli, or Zetas for short, need something only you can give them because of your genetics. This explains the experiments and abductions you've heard of, which have been going on for the last 40 years. Visitors need your genes to re-engineer their own DNA so that they do not die out. They no longer reproduce in the usual way but through cloning, which has undermined their adaptability and, consequently, their ability to survive into the future. Therefore, visitors have personal as well as spiritual reasons for ensuring the human race's survival. Visitors are particularly concerned about your fate because they see you taking the same path they did. They, too, were more intellectually and technologically developed than spiritually developed. They, too, use their intelligence to create nuclear weapons, which in their case destroyed their planet and forced them underground. There they adapted and survived for millennia, but they did not thrive. The poisoning of their environment, the overdevelopment of their intellect, and their adaptation to underground life resulted in their losing the ability to reproduce sexually, a problem they solved by learning to clone themselves. In spite of these remarkable adaptations, visitors are dying out because they are nearly identical. Cloning does not produce the diversity that allows a species to evolve and adapt. Consequently, their zetas are becoming weaker and weaker physically. You have the genetics they need to regain what they have lost, and they have the wisdom you need to prevent your self-destruction. In short, you need each other. Maybe you are wondering how your genetics can possibly help visitors, who bear the least resemblance to you of any of the visiting extraterrestrials. First, let us say that the zetas are the extraterrestrials who are between 3 and 4.5 feet tall, with large heads and small bodies, pointed chins, large bug-like eyes, and small nondescript noses and mouths. They have spindly arms and legs, no gender, no hair, and greenish, gray complexions. These are the extraterrestrials most commonly seen by people and known for their abductions and experiments. The other extraterrestrials don't need to interact with you as personally or as visibly and remain hidden. The Greys, we should add, look like the Zetas because they share the same genetics and history up to a point. They are also abducting people for the same reason as the Zetas, to save their race. The Greys, however, developed into a service-to-self race and are also here to colonize your planet. Before today's situation can be understood, we need to look at what went on early in humanity's history, what extraterrestrials were involved, and how you were affected by them. Early extraterrestrial involvement with humanity, the Pleiadians and the Lyrans. The first humanoid race on your planet was not native to it but came to Earth from the Lyran star system. This small band of individuals, later known as Pleiadians, came to Earth to escape conflicts on their home planet, of which they wanted no part. They were peace-loving and anxious to avoid conflict at all cost. After settling on Earth, they experienced physical difficulties resulting from the difference in gravitation and atmosphere. To resolve this, they extracted genetic material from ape-like primates on Earth and combined it with their own DNA, which over many hundreds of years made them true terrestrials. This had no effect on the primates who contributed their genes. Alas, the Lyrans, whom the early Earth settlers had sought to escape, found their way to Earth and began a different genetic experiment, the one we mentioned earlier in describing your beginnings. The Lyrans took up the task of creating humanoids on Earth from the same primates that had helped the first settlers adjust to Earth. The first settlers found the Lyran presence unbearable and their activities unethical, and left Earth. They traveled for generations before they finally settled in the Pleiades. Because of their important connection to Earth and their love and concern for the humanoids of Earth, the Pleiadians have been monitoring you and involving themselves in your affairs to varying degrees. We will call them Pleiadians, even though their first home was Earth. The Lyrans lived on Earth only periodically while their humanoid creations were evolving. Remaining there for any length of time was physically uncomfortable for them, as it had been for the first settlers. They lived primarily in spacecraft and traveled back and forth between Earth and their home planets and others with which they were involved. Their involvement with Earth increased when the humanoids they had created evolved enough to procreate with them. The first progenitors still could not live on Earth comfortably, but their offspring easily adapted to Earth and continued to procreate. Periodically, the Lyrans mixed their seed with their human offspring. These periods of infusion of extraterrestrial genes sped up human evolution exponentially. The Lyrans spawned offspring unlike the terrestrial parent, with far greater intellectual and physical capacities, including increased size, agility, and strength. The offspring looked different from those with more terrestrial blood, although these differences lessened over time as the Lyran genes became more integrated into the human race. Height was the most outstanding evidence of the Lyrans' involvement with the burgeoning human race. Lyrans were more than 7 feet tall. Evolution this rapid created difficulties within the human race, as can be imagined. Fighting and conflict were common, as racial differences contributed to competitiveness. Certain characteristics, like tallness, light skin, and hairlessness, became more desirable than others, leaving some members of society outcast or disenfranchised. Thus, racial struggles were born early in your history and were, in fact, part of the original Liren conflict. Your Liren forefathers also fought over similar differences. Enter, the Syrians. As might be expected, the Lirans were not the only extraterrestrials interested in Earth in the early days of the human race. Millennia later, Syrians, another group that felt a claim toward Earth, arrived. Syrians were not significantly different from Lirans in their philosophy and approach toward Earth. Syrians also felt a right, in fact, a duty to procreate with the developing humanoid species, to lend their own genes to this developing race. There was not much the Lirans could do about this, since they were not inclined to disallow what they, themselves, promoted. Besides, they had nothing against the Syrians. So they managed to coexist together for some time and even cooperate in raising and guiding the human race, but not without conflict and not indefinitely. The relationship between these two groups of extraterrestrials and the human race was that of a parent to a child. The human race was far less developed than the Lirans and the Syrians in every respect: physically, emotionally, intellectually, socially, and spiritually. The Lirans and Syrians created a social hierarchy to oversee the training of their charges, with themselves on top. This was not unreasonable, given the differences in development and numbers. Thus, they orchestrated the human race's social development, provided them with knowledge about agriculture, astronomy, building construction, mathematics, science, and other subjects necessary to their survival, and taught them philosophical, esoteric, and spiritual truths. As might be expected, many of the spiritual teachings were misunderstood or purposely distorted by human beings, making their religions vacuous at best and dangerous at worst. Nevertheless, certain spiritual truths managed to survive, in part because Earth was visited periodically by advanced souls such as Krishna, Buddha, and Jesus, who came to remind people of basic spiritual truths. Many myths, legends, and biblical stories tell of humanity's early interactions with extraterrestrials. Stories about the gods of Mount Olympus in Greek mythology reflected Liren and Syrian leadership in that part of the world. Egyptian mythology also reflected the Syrian influence, although what has filtered down is a distorted image of these gods. The Garden of Eden is the story of humanoid creation, with the rib symbolizing the genetic exchange between extraterrestrials and early primates. And the story of Moses and the Ten Commandments and many other prophetic interactions described in the Old Testament were stories of interactions with extraterrestrials. The Old Testament, although often distorted and inaccurate, is an account of people's remembrances of the moral teachings they received from extraterrestrials, particularly from the Syrians. Human society, history, culture, religion, and political and philosophical beliefs were all shaped by the extraterrestrials responsible for your creation. How could it be otherwise? They felt a responsibility for what they had created, and they felt compelled to share the knowledge and understanding they had gained in their own evolution. How could they create you and leave you? They felt spiritually responsible for you and still do. Moreover, they recognize their oneness with you as spiritual beings. In short, they love you. That is why your fate is so important to them. That is why they care whether you suffer or not. Despite how arrogant and self-serving their interventions on Earth may seem, they were not. In serving you, they believed they were serving the Creator. And so they were. Later Pleiadian involvement. The Pleiadians did not see it this way. They did not feel comfortable with the kind of genetic engineering taking place on Earth. Because of their strong genetic, spiritual, and emotional ties with you, they felt an obligation to protect you and to oversee your evolution and the extraterrestrials' activities. They tried to protect you not only from yourselves, but from the other extraterrestrials shaping you. They even intervened to balance situations they felt were out of control or which might result in damage to your species. The Lirans and Syrians, on the other hand, were much more apartment to let you make mistakes and suffer the consequences. This was a major difference between the Pleiadians and the others, a difference that was responsible for several dramas throughout your history. Sometimes the Pleiadians did more harm than good with their interventions. For instance, the Pleiadians saw no reason for you to suffer from diseases they knew how to cure, so they gave you cures. This eased your suffering but didn't help you develop your medical knowledge. By removing the impetus for medical discovery, the Pleiadians actually delayed your intellectual growth, since the intellect is expanded by exercising it, not by being given answers or by having no need to exercise it. This is why we and others like us, and now the Pleiadians, will not give you answers to your problems. The Earth plane is a plane of polarities, and only by having difficulties and overcoming them can you evolve. This will not change once you move into fourth density. You will simply have different challenges, ones that relate less to survival and more to fulfilling your intellectual potential. You will be less concerned with providing for your physical selves and more with providing for your intellectual and cultural selves. The fourth density world of the future will be one in which you will be learning to function as a coordinated whole rather than as separate individuals, although your individuality will remain intact. You will be more concerned with collective good than personal good. Moving into fourth density will be a major step in humanity's evolution, as you can undoubtedly appreciate. At the time, the Pleiadians knew this kind of interference could have such an effect, but they felt the benefits of interference outweighed the disadvantages. They had forgotten the importance of physical suffering. It had been so long since they had suffered themselves. By making this mistake, they were reminded of this. They now work to share their understanding with others who might make this same mistake. Another mistake the Pleiadians made was to interfere in your wars. They appeared in visions to try to convince you of the irrationality of war. This had no impact because you were too emotionally immature to negotiate. You wanted to fight. Until fighting became more painful than not fighting, fighting would continue. You have only recently become evolved enough to settle your differences non-violently. You are open to this now because some enlightened individuals have managed to teach you peacemaking skills and because you have no choice. The world is too small, and you need each other's resources. The Pleiadians did more than just try to talk you out of fighting. At times, they physically, or not so physically, intervened to jam your weapons or foil the invention of new ones. This kind of interference is similar to what we and other spirit guides and teachers do to guide humanity. The difference is that those like us are more objective, more evolved, and have had more experience acting as guides than the Pleiadians did then. The Pleiadians have evolved considerably since then and realize now that they were premature in playing that role with you and vow not to interfere like that anymore. They did not always have the best judgment, but their intentions were always good. The Lyrans and the Syrians were the main players in your history because they did not have the same compunctions about shaping you that the Pleiadians had. The Pleiadians intervened only occasionally and with altruistic, protective motives, while the Lyrans and Syrians intervened regularly, out of duty as overseers of their creations. Both the Lyrans and the Syrians figured heavily in your early history. However, at a certain point, the Lyrans all but dropped out and left the task of nurturing humanity to the Syrians. The Syrians took over until they felt humanity was ready to stand on its own. This point did not arrive until well into medieval times. Since then, the Syrians have been monitoring your activities from afar, but not appearing to you or communicating openly with you. The same is true of the Lyrans, who have been monitoring you and occasionally walking among you, but rarely intervening directly in your affairs. It is interesting, don't you think, that soon after their apparent involvement ceased, science and rationality began replacing religion. This period of non-intervention is ending, however, not that any of these groups will intervene like they have in the past. Earth is obviously in need of help, and the Pleiadians, the Lyrans, and the Syrians are answering this call. You are, after all, their creations and members of the same galactic family. The Syrian role in history. Let's take a closer look at how the Syrians affected your course, Since they were the key players in your history. The Syrians were your gods. The Lyrans and even the Pleiadians also played this role, but we'll focus on the Syrian role in history because they were the strongest players, especially more recently. Please understand, however, that the Lyrans and the Pleiadians have acted similarly from time to time. The Syrians came onto the scene after the Lyrans, but they quickly took charge of the engineering of the human form. They were experts in genetic engineering, and the Lyrans stepped aside in deference to their greater knowledge. The Lyrans remained involved with you as teachers and as your gods, but appeared to you less and less frequently. The Syrians materialized often and in many forms. Sometimes they appeared godlike, enormous, handsome or beautiful, and glowing. With this guise, how could you not assume they were gods or angels sent to rule and instruct you? More frequently, however, they reincarnated as simple shepherds, stonemasons, tailors, and the like so that they could mingle with you and influence you in less dramatic ways. This also was a way for them to walk in your shoes and sample what being human is like, although their experience of being human was never really like yours. They were like gods in human form and were usually recognized as such, regardless of their garb. They could not hide their advanced development. They also reincarnated and became prominent members of society. Many of the remarkable men and women throughout history were either reincarnated Syrians or other advanced souls. Many of the great Greek teachers Pythagoras, Socrates, Hippocrates, and Plato were Syrian, as were many great political leaders throughout history. Every position of power in society has been held at one time or another, usually at critical points, by Syrians. This way, they could contribute to your growth socially, culturally, and intellectually. The Syrians continued to influence you through biological engineering as well, until they withdrew in the Middle Ages. They decided that your evolution could proceed without them after that. Besides, their attention was drawn elsewhere then. The human race also has been greatly advanced by the periodic arrival of avatars like Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, Lao Tzu, and Krishna. However, many of their teachings have been distorted by their followers and others who did not understand the teachings because they were not functioning on the same level spiritually as those great beings. It was no surprise to these great beings that their teachings became distorted. They brought them knowing this would probably happen. The alternative was to leave humanity in darkness. So they arranged for others to follow them who would correct the distortions. Martin Luther and John Calvin were not avatars themselves, but fulfilled their specific mission of reform. Advanced souls like these two have reincarnated at critical points throughout history to reinstate humanity's course when necessary. The Syrians believe firmly in letting you make mistakes so that you could learn from them. They understood that your struggles would make you stronger. Therefore, not only did they not protect you from challenges, as the Pleiadians occasionally did, but they sometimes even instigated challenges to catalyze your growth. For example, they gave you the tools by which you could destroy yourselves in Atlantis. The Syrians were aware of the possible danger of showing you how to use atomic power, but they were willing to risk this for the technological advancements atomic energy could bring. They did not expect you to destroy yourselves, they thought you would use this energy wisely and most of you would have. They also thought they could prevent people from misusing it, if it came to that. However, the technology got into the wrong hands, and the Syrians could not prevent the disaster that followed. For this mistake, they are deeply indebted to the human race and still repaying this debt in service to your planet. In trying to catalyze your growth by introducing atomic energy, they created tremendous karma for themselves, as did those who misused this power and destroyed Atlantis. There are many other examples like this, most with better results. Usually when the Syrians and others intervened as catalysts, they succeeded in stimulating growth, like when they gave you the technology for aerial flight. The airplane and many other equally significant innovations came from suggestions implanted within the subconscious minds of inventors, but only when such inventions were judged timely for humankind. People could have come up with these inventions earlier had they received similar subconscious stimuli. The Syrians and others guiding Earth now work more through the subconscious mind through dreams, intuition, and feelings and through channels and psychics than more directly. They are not limited to working this way, they just choose to. Syrians have not taken on a form on your planet for a long time and probably won't. They are leaving this up to others, whom you will come to know as extraterrestrials rather than gods. Who are these extraterrestrials visiting you now? We will examine five groups of extraterrestrials involved with your planet: the Pleiadians, the Syrians, the Orions, the Zetas, and the Greys. There are others many in fact, which explains the diversity of humanoids sighted and your confusion about what is going on. Actually, only one thing is going on: you are being helped into fourth density. This is no small matter, for rarely has a planet gone through such a change so swiftly. Catching up, the reasons for the swiftness of the move into fourth density are complex and difficult to explain. Basically, humanity has fallen behind in its spiritual development. If the human race does not catch up, the Earth will transition without it. People who don't catch up won't return to Earth in their next incarnation. The Earth has been waiting for you, but it cannot wait any longer. One reason humanity has fallen behind is the absence of great spiritual leaders over the last several centuries. Since the Syrians are no longer walking among you, as they had, you have not had the spiritual leadership you needed to keep pace with Earth's spiritual plan. And since no other extraterrestrial group stepped in to fulfill this function, you have been left without a special consciousness to guide and inspire you, although you have had intellectual geniuses. That is not enough, however. Intellectual development without parallel spiritual development is potentially dangerous, as the Zetas have discovered. You are reaching a similar point in your history, where spiritual development must catch up to intellectual development, or you may destroy yourselves and your planet as the Zetas did. Many tactics, which have already been mentioned, are being used to catch you up: extraterrestrials, spirit guides, and other non-physical beings are working through your subconscious minds, through psychics, and through channels. And star people and walk-ins have reincarnated from other planets and dimensions to share their talents and wisdom with you. Walk-ins and star people. Many of you have already heard of walk-ins and will not find this idea so shocking. For those who haven't, a walk-in is another way besides reincarnation to bring someone into a body. With walk-ins, the soul walks into a body of someone ready to leave the physical plane, and begins life in that body when it is vacated. Walk-ins occur, although rarely, during near-death experiences and other serious illnesses that are followed by miraculous recoveries. Let us repeat that this phenomenon is rare, but less so now than in nearly any period in history. Walk-ins have been used at other critical points in history, but this is one of the more drastic measures for rescuing planets or races. This intervention is not used casually because it is considered best to let races evolve as they will. This is a serious intervention because it brings in souls who will reshape the choices being made by the faltering race. It is considered an interference into a race's evolution, but one that will be made when extinction is an issue. That there are many walk-ins on your planet now should tell you something about the seriousness of your situation. Every walk-in and star person has his or her own specific mission. They are not coordinated to perform one certain function on Earth. Some walk-ins and star people are working together on projects, but the projects are diverse. Some are working on environmental issues, some are involved in politics, some are trying to change your educational system, some are involved in the media, and many are healers. What is true of all of them is that they are on the forefront of what they do, for they have come to change existing conditions. If you look around you, you can spot them. They are the ones pushing for change in health, education, the environment, human rights, animal rights, and other new age areas. Walk-ins and star people are decidedly new age, for lack of a better term. They are all healers, healers of people, of social institutions, of political hatreds, and of all life on this earth. Although their method for obtaining a body is unusual, walk-ins are not more unusual than star people. Both are extremely diverse, as they encompass individuals from many different planets and dimensions.